from Iron Man on Twitter. 10-7 would mean they go 500 the rest of the season. Would that actually be disappointing after a start like this? I guess he's referring to my preseason prediction of 10-7. Actually, it would mean that they went 6-6, right? They're 4-1. That's true. 500 the rest of the season. Would that be disappointing? I don't know. I mean, there's so much context around things like that. You know, there's a way that we'd get to the end of the season and they'd be 10-7 and we'd be thrilled. There's a way that they'd get to 10-7 and we'd be disappointed, I guess. It's hard to answer those questions. A lot of you are fired up. A lot of you, you know, got what Denton got, which was the word was game changer when he was describing Jaden. It was not explosive. It was not whatever else we said. We were close. We were in the ballpark. All right. 301-230-0980. These are different days, man. I just had a friend of mine say to me what I said the other day. I think I said it at the end of last week. I can't remember the last time we've had more longtime first times, Denton, right? Longtime listener, first time caller. Let's go to Hugh in Hagerstown. Hugh, thanks for holding. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for having me. And I am one of those longtime listeners and a first-time caller.
Yeah,
and I'm going to tell you why I think they're going to beat the – yeah, I want to tell you why I think they're going to beat the Ravens this week. But first, let me just say I'm 69 years old. I've been a Redskin fan since 1961 when I was watching games with my father and we were enjoying Sonny try to compete. And so I've been through lots and lots of ups and downs. I'm also a fan who remembers, obviously, the team through the 80s and 90s. And this team is starting to give you the same feelings that team did. But before I go there, I also am I suffer from Snyder-driven PTSD with the Redskins. And every week I expect the shoe to drop, and it hasn't. And so the feeling I'm starting to get is we walk into stadiums now, and we believe we're going to win. And that's the way we all felt during the 80s and 90s. We expected to win every game, every Sunday. And it's very exciting to do that. Here's what I think they need to do to beat the Ravens on Sunday. If we hold Derrick Henry to 80 yards or less, I believe our defense is actually, if you throw out the first game of the year, our defense is playing better than the Ravens' defense has played, and I think we win the game. So there's my comment.
Thanks, Hugh. I would not go that far to say that the our defense is playing better than Baltimore's defense. Baltimore's defense definitely gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points to Cincinnati. They did the same thing against the Raiders. The Cowboys, remember, they were beating the snot out of them. It was like 28-6 midway through the fourth quarter. And then the Cowboys, you know, lit it up in the fourth quarter and got close there at the end. But that game was basically over almost at halftime, midway through that quarter. I just think Baltimore looks a little bit susceptible in the secondary to me. That's what it looks like from watching the Cincinnati game, watching the Buffalo game, watching the Dallas game, and watching the Chiefs game. I guess we have seen 4 or 5 Baltimore games because they've been high-profile spots. I still personally am concerned about what Washington can be defensively. I don't think Cleveland was a test at all. I think that's one of the worst offensive football teams and one of the worst quarterback teams we've seen in the NFL in years. And then Arizona, I know what they did against the 49ers, but they did something completely different against them than they tried to do against Washington. They ran their quarterback. For some reason, they didn't run the quarterback against us, which is the only way Arizona's got a legit shot to win games with him at quarterback, is to have him run around and try to make plays, you know, off schedule. Denton, I wanted you to play number 19 from Quinn's press conference yesterday. I did not listen to this press conference yesterday, but I just saw this on your rundown, and I'm interested to hear this answer. He was asked basically about what Hugh just said, which is fans kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Here's what he said.
Boy, Liam, I don't think of it in that way at all. And I didn't feel that or sense that in the game at all about the energy that they brought. Like I said, we were absolutely dripping in it because of what they brought. So I just want them to know every time we go, they're going to see a team that's absolutely bringing it and tough and physical. So you know, last game, a month from now, 10 years from now. That's just how we're going to get down. And knowing that they're creating an environment that's going to make it really challenging for other teams to go because of the players on the field and the fans in the environment. If you put both of those two things together, like, that's a legitimate home field advantage. So that's why I thought it was so important to recognize it, because part of the reason the team played really well on third down, man, it was loud. And, like, it was hard. They had to make checks at the line of scrimmage and go through things. And, like, it's as fun as you can imagine being down on the field when it's absolutely ripping like that. So for those who are thinking the other way, I'd say, it's 2024. And so, like, just let's let it ride with these guys and have a blast and be as loud as you can.
Yeah, just to clear it up, he was asked essentially what Hugh said on what he would say to fans who are waiting for, like, the other shoe to drop, waiting for the team to let him down. And he said, boy, I don't think of it in that way at all. And why would he? Why would he think of it that way? He wasn't part and parcel to what we've gone through all these years. You know, the reason the other shoe dropped time and time again is because the shoe stunk from the head down. They don't have that issue anymore. Let's get back to the phone lines. Let's go to Sean in D.C. Sean, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
What's up, Sean?
I just wanted to say, I tried to get in yesterday, but it is totally refreshing. I've been a fan since birth. And when is the last time we were able to enjoy a victory Monday or a whole victory week without being overshadowed with negativity right after the victory? You can't enjoy the victory because things are going on with the ownership. And it's even in watching the game, if a team should score on us, we don't have that feeling like, oh, well, it's over, because, you know, you look at JD5 and he's like, man, that's nothing. I'm going to come back and get that score and then some. It is just, it's a breath of fresh air and totally refreshing where we are right now. And I'm very optimistic about this team and where they can go, not only in the foreseeable future, but in the long-term future. The structure of the front office on down, it speaks volumes. And this is something that we have been waiting for since the 80s and early 90s. I think we're back. It's to the point now that I'm even embracing the Commanders, and I'm buying Commander paraphernalia. They'll always be the Redskins to me.
Sean, but hey. Listen, it's how you feel. This is I don't want to get started on this issue. It's an emotional issue, but if your emotions are turning towards that, then you are proof that winning would, you know, it certainly changed the minds of many people. By the way, this from Hal. Hal said, this is not the battle of the beltways or the battle of the parkway. This is a battle to take back Howard County. Hal, that's a good one. You know, Howard County was always kind of the dividing line for Ravens and Redskins fans. And I think over the last 10, 15 years, it's probably tilted heavily towards the Ravens. You know, it's not even a dividing line as much as it once was. Let's go to Lonnie. Lonnie's been on hold for a while. Lonnie, thanks for holding. Go ahead, sir.
Hello.
What's up, Lonnie?
Hey, it's actually Ronnie from
Ronnie. It's okay, Ronnie. My fault.
It's okay, Kevin. It's okay. Good morning, Kevin. Longtime listener. I do call a lot. I'm one of the few up here in Harford County that's a diehard Redskin fan. Been that way since the early 80s. To me, this game means a lot, because being up here and how I get looked at, why didn't you switch, why didn't you change, I can't do it. You caught me on burgundy gold. That's it. But to get onto the game situation, I think we can. And your first emails that came in, yes, that's loser talk. I want to go in. I want to whip this team's butt. We are playing at a high level, and I haven't felt this way since 91, and it is exciting. Every day I get to walk around all these purple people, and I get to wear my burgundy and gold. And I hopefully next Monday I get to do the exact same thing. And I'm just excited about it, and I hope it keeps going. And if you think we can't go in there and win that game, then that's not right. We are playing really good, and let's take advantage of what we got. And number 5 is just looking better and better every week, and let's keep it going. Hail Skins, and I'll never wait up to see.
Thanks, Ronnie. Appreciate it. Let's go to G from the shop. What's up, G?
Oh, yeah. You said Dan Quinn don't think about that shoe about to fall, because it's his job to make sure that shoe don't fall. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of first-time callers. You know, it's the first time we've been relevant since the Ravens have been incepted. You know what I'm saying? This is a big-time game. We ain't never been on their level. They took on the persona of us as that respectable franchise, and we ain't been that since. You know what I'm saying? So this definitely we could win this game. Like, the thing is, we don't know no different. That locker room don't know no different. They just won 4-1. So they want to keep that thing going. And we're not going up there to play the 2000 Ravens. We're not going up there to play that Patriots team that beat us 52-7 at home. Right. We're not going across the West Coast. And people was complaining about how they set us up with the schedule with the Thursday night Cincinnati game. But our owner helped us out. Whatever it was, our owner helped us out with taking us straight out Arizona. It might have hurt us going out to the West Coast right after that short week. You know what I'm saying? But now we ain't got to go over to the West Coast. All we got to do is drive up to BW Parkway, and we did. So, and guess what? He playing against two Heisman winners. He's on the Heisman Revenge Tour. So, like you said, yeah, they might be demoralizing, but they might run 90 yards like Derrick Henry did the other day, demoralize anybody else. But we sending out youngins, and he ain't got that type of attitude. He out there to demoralize them people, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was just thinking to myself, I'm fired up that they're playing Baltimore this weekend. Like, this is play them now. Play them now. Let's see what we got. I think we got a lot offensively. I'm pretty sure we got what we need at quarterback. But, you know, if it weren't Baltimore, the second best spot to be going to, maybe the first spot, would have been going to Kansas City this week. That would have been fun, too. But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm with you. No, I mean, this is for real.
No,
what?
I was about to say. Oh yeah,
he's smoking again.
But see, just not always. But this the other thing.
Yeah,
I ain't been betting on this because, you know, since we've been winning, I don't want to bet. I don't want to jinx it. But being a student of the smell test, and with all these rookie bettors out here, that line stinks. And a lot of y'all rookie bettors is going to jump on that +7.5. My advice is to tease it
just
up
sit
to 8.5.
Enjoy the game.
Tease it up to 8.5 just to be safe, man. Put the condom on that bet.
See ya. My guy, he wakes up smoking, and it just sometimes it plays out on the air. First of all, you don't tease up from 7.5 to 8.5, or from 6.5 to 8.5. But I don't know that there's going to be a major side in this game. Probably a little bit of a lean towards Washington. Little bit. Billy's been on hold for a while. Billy, what's up? You're a believer now. I know you are.
Oh, Kevin, I'll tell you what, and I say this with all seriousness. I thought Mahomes was pushing it last night, and I think he knows JD5 is out there making plays, and he's trying to bring some attention to himself. I mean, this JD5 is unbelievable. I'm reacting overreacting as much as possible. I mean, watching the game with my brother again. It's the 90s again. I'm a teenager again. I'm part of the Washington football community again for the first time in 30 freaking years. Build the statue, the resurrection throw against Cincinnati to Terry. Kevin, it's unbelievable. I'll tell you this. I was watching college football on Saturday, and for the first time again since the 90s, I wasn't looking at quarterbacks saying to myself, I wonder if that guy could be a quarterback that we could get at Washington. You know why? Because we have our quarterback. In five games, we have our quarterback. We have two things that are a potential challenge for us looking at the future in a crystal ball. Number one, that JD5 doesn't get frosted tips, doesn't turn into Aaron Rodgers and become the guy who nukes cultures, and I like his personality so far. He's a guy who is team first, and he has elevated the play of the team. Joe Burrow, I was a huge fan. He's got the frosted tips. All of a sudden, he's like he's won 6 Super Bowls. And the second thing facing us right now, and this is most important for all of us as fans, Adam Peters has to be thinking about Super Bowl this year, right now. Whatever it is in the free agency market, that whatever it is in the free agency market that we can do to improve this team and keep the culture the way it is, he needs to make moves because we're looking at a Super Bowl run this year.
All right.
And the good news is, Kevin, last comment. No, go ahead. I don't want. I do have
a last comment.
If you
I'm just going to say this: that I'd like to just see what happens Sunday before we're all in on a Super Bowl run in terms of, you know, executing trades, you know, giving up future capital, etc. Because to me, there are a couple of moves that you only make if you absolutely think you've got a chance to win the Super Bowl. And I think if they go in there and win Sunday, it's on. Like, they would be, you know, right behind probably Detroit, Minnesota, maybe still San Francisco as the pick in the NFC to make the Super Bowl. But for me, and we talked about this last week, I'd be looking at defense.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily be looking at Devontae Adams.
And I love the show. The show the last month has just been magical. It's been so much fun for the first time in 30 years. The good news is, going into the game Sunday, for all the Commanders, Washington football community, we got the better quarterback.
Well, their quarterback's a Hall of Famer, Billy. Thanks for the call. Their quarterback is outstanding. I actually loved what I saw from Lamar Jackson on Sunday because they blitzed the you-know-what out of him in the fourth quarter, Denton, and he just stood in there and just fired strike after strike. Like, it was very impressive. Like, it was almost like he is developing a new part to his game, or refining or improving, as kind of a pocket passer when you have to have it on third down. And he's got all the other stuff. Look, you're on Sunday, it's a matchup between two of the four or five best playmakers and game changers at the position. I wouldn't trade Jaden for Lamar. I'd keep our guy right now. All right, stay on hold. We'll keep this going. Ray, Will, Kurt, Chuck, Will, William, Robert, Avine. What do you make of this team through 5 weeks, and do you give them a shot Sunday against the Ravens in Baltimore? It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can download the Odyssey app, listen to us whenever you want, wherever you want. And also, if you're listening to us via Apple and Spotify on a podcast of the show, rate us and review us if you get a chance. That's really helpful for us. Give us 5 stars if you see fit on Apple, and write a quick 2-sentence review saying you like the show if you're listening to it on podcast on Apple or Spotify. Back to your calls. We'll do a Denton College football weekend wrap. We'll also go back to some of the NFL games that we did not have a chance to talk about yesterday and talk about last night. The Saints may have lost their quarterback. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980. Find out more about the health of Quan Martin and a few others tomorrow when the serious prep for Baltimore begins out in Ashburn. But the word yesterday from Quinn, looking through the transcript of his press conference, is it doesn't look like there's any reason to be super concerned about anybody right now. Interesting, Denton, because you cut up all the sound, and I want to play some more of it before the end of the show. He is steady Eddie in sort of watching and then reading some of these transcripts in these press conferences. There is nothing other than kind of earn it talk. You know, there's no sense from the head coach that they've arrived anywhere after 5 weeks. He's been around the block. He knows how this NFL works. Let's go to Ray in Frederick. Ray, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I got only 3 words for you. What did Tom Lavero say about RG3? You know it. You can say it. Shock and awe, baby. That's what's going to happen this Sunday. It's going to be shock and awe. The best part is, I don't think it's going to be any shock or awe. It's just going to be, you know, the J.D. Daniels show. And you know it. And we got ourselves a quarterback, and everybody knows it. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Ray. Yeah. Shock and awe was Tommy before the 2012 opener at New Orleans, was we were doing the show together, and Tommy on the air that Thursday or Friday said, the headline Monday morning will be shock and awe. That's how great RG3 is going to be Sunday in New Orleans. And he was in that opener. We got a new guy here. The new guy's lighting it up. At this point, Sunday, like I think I'm not going to be surprised by anything that happens offensively that's good. I'd be a bit surprised if they were, you know, shut down by Baltimore's defense. That would surprise me. Defensively, this is the first legitimate test they've had since, you know, the Cincinnati offense on Monday night. And they did not play well in that particular game. I think Sunday, to kind of suggest or to characterize this defense as, wow, what a turnaround, or wow, it's incredibly improved. If this is going to be a good defense, you can see it coming. If you can see it, bless your heart. I can't yet. I see some flying around, some urgency, some true competitive spirit. I love that. I think Luvu is legit. I think Luvu's the best player defensively, and it's not close, although Wagner would be second. I like the way 25's playing, St. Juice. I like the way... I actually thought their interior played well the other day. I thought Duran played well. I thought Phil Mathis, you know, in some of that rotational stuff played well. But I want to see it against Baltimore's number one rush offense. And really, when you talk about explosive, Washington's been that. Baltimore's been that as well. These are the two top offenses per DVOA in the league. Baltimore's one. Washington is two. Now, the difference between the two is pretty significant. Baltimore's number one by a bit. Let's go back to the phone lines. What do you think so far through 5 weeks, and what kind of shot do you give them Sunday in Baltimore? Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. I'm in Cape Cod looking at the Atlantic Ocean this second. But I've been keeping track through Odyssey. Yeah, it's great. I have two comps for you to tell you what I think about Sunday. The first, you and I go back to 1971. In the 5-0 start, we go out to Kansas City to play the great Chiefs team of Lenny Dawson and Hank Stram. We lose a heartbreaker, but everybody knows at that point on, this team George Allen has built is legit. And it was, you know, the next year we go to the Super Bowl. But I'm a little more optimistic than that. I'm thinking, as the other comp, I think I've mentioned this to you in a text, go back 25 years ago and a team coming off a 4-win season goes 13-3 in the 16-game season, wins the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden Kurt Warner is a household name. Whereas, and the big difference is Jaden's been a household name since the highs.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But my point is that, you know, it's not outrageous. There are similarities. We have Jaden, they had Kurt. We have.
They started with Trent Green, though. Remember that? Trent Green got hurt in the preseason.
I do. So theirs is even more. I think theirs is even more miraculous, is what I'm saying. I think ours would be less miraculous. And think about it. It's possible. Yeah, let's wait till we play the Ravens. Let's see. Let's see how healthy they can stay. But, you know, you match up their studs. You know, they had London Fletcher. We've got Luvu. They had Marshall Faulk. We've got Eckler and Robinson. I mean, there's things and pieces in place. We don't have Orlando Pace, but we got the best left tackle rotation I've ever seen. Two guys platooning. It's unbelievable.
Wait a minute. You know I love you, I love your opinion, and it's sharp. But you just said that the combination of Brandon Coleman and Cornelius Lucas is the greatest left tackle platoon situation you've ever seen. Really?
You tell me a better one.
I don't know. I mean, I can't even think of a left tackle platoon situation to compare it to, so maybe you're right.
I'm just saying, let me send you the John Gruden said it first. He was raving about Lucas and Coleman going, these guys are unbelievable.
I thought Coleman, I think Coleman's had some moments that are very encouraging, no doubt. No doubt.
We'll see what happens. Even if he's not a tackle, he's a stud starting lineman for us going forward somewhere, and we'll go get a left tackle. I'm only saying that anything's possible. Let's just enjoy the ride, man.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I appreciate your takes always. We got the 99 Rams, and we got the best left tackle platoon situation in the history of the game. And what you just said there at the end is what I'm trying to do here. I just want to enjoy this. This is nice. What I am absolutely the most convinced about, and I would think that most of you would agree with this, not left tackle platoon, not comping to you know, one of the greatest shows in the history of offensive football, but I feel really good about the quarterback. Like, to me, that's the easy thing here through five games. This guy does everything at a high level. Now, what will it look like against Pittsburgh? You know, what's it going to look like against a really good defensive team? Cleveland was a competent defensive team with a competent plan. You know, they actually made Washington a little bit uncomfortable there early. You heard the quote where Dan Quinn talked about how, you know, it can be demoralizing to a defense what Jaden did with that 66-yard throw. And then he said something to the effect, and I may be paraphrasing here, but he said it was kind of grimy in the first half offensively. It's because Cleveland shut down Brian Robinson Jr. They shut down Jaden as an option, as a read option quarterback. They had a couple of things figured out, and then all of a sudden the dam broke with the 66-yard off schedule play. And then what really happened is eventually it's like when the score gets out of control because your offense can't stay on the field. Cleveland's offense punted six times in a half. Then it just gets sideways. But that's not the same thing that Pittsburgh will present. It's not the same thing looking down the road that a New Orleans defense will present. New Orleans is good defensively. So there will be better tests, but I am highly confident that number five gives them a chance against almost anybody week in and week out. Chuck, thank you so much. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Chuck.
First of all, I prayed. I got down on my knees, and I prayed that they didn't mess up this draft pick. And it came true. We got Jaden Daniels. I thought he was the best quarterback in the draft. I got tired of watching games on Sundays because I felt like, you know, as a Redskin fan, you have to have your physical. You know, you got to be in physical shape on Sundays from all that yelling and screaming and all that. Now on Sundays, I just watch the game at ease and all that. But I think we're going to go into Baltimore on Sunday, man, and I think we're going to really, like, hit them right square in the mouth. That's just how I feel. From the moment, I'm one of those fans that I believe we're going to win 12 games, and I still believe we're going to win 12 games. I believe we're going to physically go up there and beat them up on Sunday, and I'm talking about shut that run game down and make no mistake and show them like we're one of the best one, two, or three teams in the league on Sunday. Yep. And I want another thing, Kevin, I'm not going to take up none of your time, but we've been in the media a lot in the last couple of years, and it's kind of funny for all the wrong things. And then, like, now we're right back in the media because of Jaden Daniels. I just thought that was kind of hilarious that, you know, he brought our team together, our city. Yeah.
Better reason for eyes to be on the franchise. Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, look, remember this. The owners still have a lot of cleaning up to do, you know, from a business standpoint. But on the football side, none of these people are carrying any of the baggage of the past into these games. They're just not. They don't. Most of these players are familiar with it, but they didn't live it. You know, Terry did, John did, Duran did. There are a few players that did, but the overwhelming majority of people in that locker room are not carrying the baggage of, you know, the PTSD, the embarrassing moments of the past. It doesn't matter to them. They're out and they're like, we're pretty good. And, oh, by the way, the guy that's leading us at quarterback, he's young, but it might be a little bit thin, but he's really good. We got a shot. I mean, you look around the NFC, seriously, right now, 5 weeks into the season, I mean, we've already talked about the division being, you know, certainly there for the taking as of now. I still think Philly's got something coming. I think they're decent. I think they're better than they were last year. We'll see. The last outing was horrendous against Tampa. You know, you got Minnesota right now as the only undefeated team. Washington's got the second best record in the NFC. Detroit's got one loss, but they've only got three wins. I mean, who's scary? The 49ers, completely healthy, I still think are the best team when you get to one game in January. But they haven't been healthy, and there seems to be something off there. All right, where are we going next? Let's go to William in D.C. William, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing, man?
I'm good, William.
I think, why not now look for a Super Bowl now? I think you definitely are in the 2 to 3 year round for a possible Super Bowl title. But why not now? As for Sunday, the only person I think to stop Derrick Henry is Harbaugh. So if they
the
see
only,
him,
what'd you say? I'm sorry, William. What'd you say?
I say the only person who can stop Derrick Henry is John Harbaugh. So, as for Sunday, if they feed Derrick Henry the ball,
Derrick Henry.
I think you have no shot. For Sunday.
Okay, thanks for the call. Look, Derrick Henry's having an unbelievable year, and the threat of Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry in that run game. They're the number one rush offense in the league. Washington's number two. In terms of yards per carry, they're over six per carry in five games, Baltimore is. There is no doubt that right now when we get to Friday and we talk about what's important, what they'll need to do to have a chance to win, they're going to have to stop the run. And they did that Sunday, but there was no threat at quarterback. In terms of what he could do if you stop the run and what they would do offensively. They were incredibly lacking in imagination, too, when you went back and watched that game again. Cleveland was just terrible. Like, that cannot be that can be in their minds in terms of a confidence builder, but that's a bad football team offensively. But you got to stop the run. You know, something that they did not do in any game until Sunday when they played an anemic offensive football team. Got to stop the run. If not, you're going to be in one of the games that you've played in already, like at Cincinnati, where you're basically going to have to keep the football. You're going to have to score on almost every possession. And look, I'm not discounting that as a possibility. They've already done it in three games, basically. You know, really four. They scored in six of their first 10 drives Sunday. So that's the way that they can still have a chance. But stopping the run would give them a much better chance on Sunday. Let's go to Frank in D.C. Frank, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure, Frank.
I just want to first say you were spot on last October when you called out Jaden Daniels at LSU. That was my first time hearing about him. And I want to give you credit again for calling a good
every college
win
football
season.
Fan saw what Jaden Daniels could become. I think a lot of the pundits that do the NFL, we talked about this, Denton and I did, they're just not big college football watchers. So they start to kind of watch just highlight tapes when the season ends. If you watched him context, game, down, distance, everything, you realize this guy was having one of the great college football quarterback seasons of all time. He was that great last year as a college quarterback. So if you watched him, yeah, nobody that watched the games felt any differently than we did.
Total, very valid. I guess the other thing I just want to say is that I'm a bit wary of all this national attention, all the hype that we're getting right now. I think it's deserved, but I do feel that there might be some regression coming, and probably this Sunday. It's exciting to see Jaden and the offense clicking and the defense finally stepping up. But I almost wish we had a lower profile going into this game so we could surprise some folks. I'm worried about all
the you're worried about our high profile. That's just so funny. Think about it. When have we ever had a high football profile?
See, I've been cultured by this team. I'm in my 30s. We have never been – a positive word has not been said about us since, like, the RG3 days. You know, Heineke was kind of fun to watch. but this is my second or third time. Again, I'm in my 30s, where it's fun to watch this team. And while I love it, I'm wary of all these raised expectations. I'm not used to it. You know, while this feels like a sugar rush, I want that satisfying steak dinner feeling of success, which I feel like we could get, you know, this season. I think we're going to get there this season, but I'm wary of the regression. Again, just want to say thank you for taking my call.
The one thing I don't want to hear you say, and you didn't say it, so it's fine, is that there's a regression to the mean coming. I hear a lot of football people, or people talk football, and they talk about regression to the mean, and they clearly do not understand the laws of probability. These are all independent events, for those of you that do understand. So there's no regression to the mean coming, but there may be regression coming overall. Who knows? We'll see. But none of it has to do with what they've done already. Go ahead, Frank. I'm sorry. Finish up.
Oh, no. I take your point, and I 100%. You know, I think what I love to hear Dan Quinn say, and what I love to hear coaches say, is, you know, finding that way to win. I think that we have a very talented, smart coaching staff who doesn't have to win the same way every game, and that way they're not beatable. I think that the regression coming is that we might not be lighting it up in the air. You know, we have been. Truthfully, our running game is what's almost been is the low-key, you know, star of the season. Aside from JD, it's the fact that defenses don't know how to game plan for it. So, again, I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Thanks, Frank.
Baltimore.
Really appreciate it. Good to hear from you. Look, there are going to be adjustments made. There's more tape on Jaden Daniels. There's more tape on the Cliff Kingsbury offense. People will start talking if you see some regression offensively. They'll start talking about that the fact that Cliff Kingsbury's offenses in the past kind of tapered off as the season went on. These are all things we'll just have to wait and see. You know, Cliff Kingsbury has never had what he has here at quarterback. Kyler Murray is not Jaden Daniels, not even close. Let's go to Bobby in North Carolina. Bobby, what's up?
Hey, Kev. Question for you. Missouri, the state of Missouri, they've got a slogan that they use. You know what that is, don't you?
Show me.
Show me. That's been my motto since this new regime took over in January. I live in Missouri, the show me state. But guess what, brother? My football team is starting to show me. I'm excited, cautiously optimistic. Still got a long way to go, but I'm very excited. And people keep picking at me every day at work, and phones blowing up, people all over the country that I know. What do you think about your squad? I live in Missouri now, but guess what? My residence is moving closer to the East Coast, Bubba. Each and every Sunday that goes by, can we win Sunday? Absolutely, we can freaking win Sunday, Kevin. Slow that run game down, get them in the mouth for 60 minutes, and let them defend us, our offense. And I know they're a good measuring stick game, but if we win this game Sunday, Kevin, that Kool-Aid's going to start tasting real, real good down here in the South, my friend, because it's already – I've been sipping it. But I'm all in. We win Sunday. And, you know, I've had tickets for 21 years, Kevin, through 25 Dan on the team. And I'm telling people, I've been the problem the last 21 years of bad football, me traveling up from North Carolina, D.C. Guess what? I'm staying away. We're winning football game. Life is good in the South today, brother.
But you're staying away. I'm fooling around with volume numbers. Like, my thing is very OCD. Watching the games. Thanks, Bobby, for the call. Denton, I think I've told you this before. My thing during the games, I definitely have an OCD issue. There's no doubt about it. And I have to have the volume at a certain number. And I won't even mention what the number is, but I can just tell you that when it goes wrong, I then have to find another number. And typically, home games are even numbers. Road games are odd numbers.
You have never told me
that. It's fooling around with the volume to get it just where it needs to be prior to a big play in particular. We should do that, by the way, as a segment one day. Write that one down. People have these weird OCD superstitious kind of things that they do when they're watching their favorite teams. And I'm not talking about wearing things, although that's part of it. But I'm talking about the real, like, compulsive stuff. Let's go to Aveen. Aveen, finish it up for us. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I have the same thing with volume and remote having to be in a certain position. So yeah. I feel you there. But as you've said this before, Jaden Daniels plays his best against the best teams in the biggest games. So, yeah, I feel like we have a shot to win on Sunday. I think he's going to have a big game through the air. Baltimore's rush defense, very good. Pass defense, questionable. And he's showing those elite quarterback qualities. He has a big clutch quality, fearless gamer, fearless playmaker. He's somebody no team, not even the best teams, feels good about having the ball in the fourth quarter. And it's just crazy with this quarterback we have now and, you know, the makeover of the franchise. We're becoming one of these big-time marquee teams. We have Nance and Romo calling the game this Sunday. I'm interested to see what the split is going to be in the stadium with Washington fans. And we're going to be one of these teams next year that has a bunch of, you know, 4 o'clock games, primetime games.
Primetime play next year. We're heading towards
we
that.
We play
no
at
doubt.
Kansas City next year, at Kansas City, at Green Bay, Detroit, all those games. So it's just crazy to make over the franchise. Looking forward to
you're okay. So I'm going to give you the same advice that I would give myself. Okay, because I do that too. I start thinking about, oh my God. I mean, and then you start to look at next year's schedule. You've already got us probably opening the season as the defending Super Bowl champions at home against Kansas City in a rematch of the Super Bowl. Let's just take a deep breath. This is a good football team. It's not flukish. The quarterback is elite right now. And it's certainly, like, why would he go backwards? Well, maybe defenses adjust, whatever. But he's already shown you the capability of playing at an elite level, doing a lot of different things. And organizationally, we're just in a completely different place than we've been for the last quarter century. But I just want to kind of enjoy this. I can't wait for Sunday at 1. I didn't even know that, Nance and Romo doing the game. I figured that that's probably what would happen because I knew it was a Fox doubleheader game. But I just, like, this is a big spot. And you brought up something, and Denton knows this. Jaden in college played his best in the biggest games. Like, when they played Alabama, the turnaround game for him in his first year at LSU was actually probably the game at Florida, which followed a blowout loss. Maybe it was 2 weeks earlier they had lost to Tennessee. Remember, they got crushed by Tennessee, and he did not play well. But he's played well against Florida. This is in 22, not 23. And then they went. Then they had Alabama in Death Valley at night. He led them down the field for the go-ahead late in the game. Game went to overtime. He had, on the first play of overtime, drop back, runs 25 yards for a touchdown. And then they go for two, and he hits Mason Taylor, Jason Taylor's son, to beat him. Last year, the biggest games, he played huge. Go back and watch the game at Missouri. Missouri was ranked. He got actually banged up in that game, came back, led him to a victory. I know the moment that I said, it's over, give him the Heisman. It was the Alabama first half. Denton, when he was just going toe-to-toe, basically by himself with Alabama, because they couldn't stop Jalen Milroe. They had the worst defense in the league. The score, I think, was like 28-28 at halftime, something like that. And then he got hurt. He took a cheap shot in the third quarter and got knocked out of that game. Then he came back and they played, and, you know, he had maybe one of the greatest college quarterback games of all time against Florida. And then they beat A&M at the end of that year in a game that, you know, was his final game because he didn't play in the bowl game, and he played great against a really good defense. He rises, and did in college, rises to the occasion. And he did on Monday night in the first big spot that they've had this year. It's not as big as Sunday, but it's a pretty big spot. I expect him to play well. I want to play something for you that Dan Quinn said about one of the formations they've lined up a lot in. I think it's interesting. I've got some thoughts on it, and then Denton will get to his news. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
So Dan Quinn was asked a question about the pistol formation yesterday, and we've seen a lot of shotgun, we've seen a lot of pistol, we've seen a lot of under center, and it was interesting to, I've read the answer, I want to hear what he said, but I actually talked about this, I think, briefly last week, that the pistol is almost like being under center because you can still run some of the play action where you turn your back to the defense and essentially hide the ball. You can't do that in shotgun. Shotgun's more of a mesh, you know, play action. The ball never, you know, is lost from, you know, that front seven or even the secondary's view. I thought his answer was interesting on the strength of the offense when they're in the pistol. For those of you that don't know the difference, and I think most of you do, the pistol is when you see the quarterback lined up similarly to being in the shotgun, except there's a running back behind him, directly behind him, instead of offset. And there's about a yard difference in terms of where they line up in the pistol versus the shotgun. But here's what Quinn said.
Well, I think, number one, knowing that you can hand it off. And I think all three running backs have really made their impact felt in different ways, Sam. It was great to have Austin back. I thought it was a fantastic run on the fourth down play that was in the red zone, where it was a sweep to him, where it was designed to, you know, go outside, but he saw the opening to go. And I think it's the instincts of guys like him that can do that. We saw Jeremy a couple weeks ago, and again down at the end of the game here, when given his moments, you know, he certainly wants to deliver in that space too. So having the run game, whether it's pistol or, you know, out of the backfield, you know, it's a little easier to do some of the play pass from a pistol because you can go either way with the runs. But under or pistol, both of them, you know, are, I would say, similarly effective.
Yeah, that just makes so much sense to me. And I don't think that I've heard a coach explain it that way, but look, Jaden has been comfortable in any of their, you know, formations, in any, you know, under center, pistol, or shotgun. But the pistol is much more similar to under center in terms of what you run. What he said there at the end, you know, from the pistol, because you can go either way with the runs, and it also makes it a little easier to do the play pass. He refers to play action as play pass. A lot of coaches do. And that's because you're turning to hand the ball off to a runner, and it's true play action where the defense has to wait to see, did he hand it off? Or did he keep it in play action? Do they take that step forward and it creates that big hole between that, you know, second layer of the defense and the back layer of the defense or not? At a shotgun, you run play action. There's play action at a shotgun, but it's not nearly as effective. And to his point, it's a great, I think Quinn does a good job sometimes of explaining this stuff. You can hand the ball off. And a normal handoff, you can hand the ball off out of the shotgun too, obviously. But it's like more of a turn and hand the ball because the back is behind you. And, I like when they're in pistol. I like having that play action as a part of what they're doing. I think he's excellent under center. I think the whole, you know, and you saw it more against Arizona than you did against Cleveland in terms of under center snaps. I think you did. I didn't add them up, but I'm going to guess that there was more under center against Arizona than against Cleveland. And they ran some of that play pass or play action, and they also ran some of that play pass boot where he comes back with everybody going one direction as if it's a zone run, and he's coming back the other way, and he's got options. You know, he's got a tight end, he's got a receiver, but he also, worst case, and he did this against Arizona, yeah, I can just run for 10, you know, 8, 9, 10 yards. I mean, Jaden Daniels as a, you know, zone run, zone pass, you know, play pass, play action pass, boot, off of the zone run scheme. We talked about this before he was drafted. I thought there were so many different offenses that he would fit so perfectly in. And they're getting to a lot of this stuff. It's not necessarily that they got one way of doing it. It certainly looks like every week it's dependent on the opponent, which is exactly the way they should game plan. Can't wait to see what it is against Baltimore on Sunday. I'll tell you this, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, they had a day against that Baltimore secondary. I mean, it was a lighted up show back and forth, 41-38 in overtime. And Joe Burrow, what was his final numbers? Did he throw for 400 or not? It was close to 400, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he was just shy of 400.
392. 392 and five touchdowns. He was 30 of 39. He threw a backbreaking pick. When they had the lead at the end of regulation, which gave Baltimore a chance to tie the game on a 56-yard field goal by Justin Tucker. But Burrow was 30 of 39 for 392, five touchdowns. Chase, 10 catches, 193 yards. That, I can do that math. That's 19.3 yards per reception, two touchdowns. He did have kind of a screen that he took to the house from long distance. And T. Higgins, 9 catches, 83 yards. There's going to be an opportunity to go toe-to-toe offensively with what Baltimore, I think, will be able to do offensively against Washington's defense. Should be really exciting. All right, some catching up to do. We did not have a chance to kind of go around the league yesterday in terms of what happened on Sunday. We'll talk about Monday Night Football. Denton's got a quick college Saturday recap. How about the upsets on Saturday? And we'll get to some Denton news as well. Breaking news in the NFL, in fact, this morning. Robert Saleh fired Jeff Ulbrich, who is their defensive coordinator, and actually worked for Dan Quinn in Atlanta, is the interim head coach in New York.